Well, thank you, friends. And I have said it before, and I will say it again. If Jesus hadn't rescued me, I'm not sure where I would be, what I would be doing in my life. And maybe some of us had that similar thought or conversation or conversation with yourself on. But in that regard, as we will be revisiting a passage of Scripture, you know, what I marvel at, as long as I have walked with the Lord, which has been a couple years now, that the richness of God's Word continues to amaze me still. And I never want to lose the wonder of that and who God is. And I hope that's true for each of us, because you've probably thinking what Dennis so aptly and read for us, I've heard that before. Well, maybe not everything. But that's the joy and the richness of knowing Jesus. Thank you to Courier in reminding us of Him who is to be worshipped and adored. Perhaps you've seen in some of the classics that have been populating, not only you can watch them on video, but showing on TV. One of them is Miracle on 34th Street, which basically the storyline is that there's someone who alleges that he is Santa Claus, and the judge brings him in, and they try to, in essence, try to prove, you know, does Santa Claus really exist? And the judge comes to the conclusion, am I giving the storyline away? Okay. It's a 1947 film. I'll just say it that way. And it's been remade in recent years. Judges hope to prove the age-old question. Sorry, any children left in here? Does Santa Claus really exist? The judge comes to the conclusion that if you believe in something strongly enough, then it becomes true. However, friends, in reality, just believing in something doesn't make it true. That's all I'll reveal about the movie. So this morning, friends, we read the passage of Scripture, and we take it by faith, but the truth is true. It is God's miraculous working. It is called God in the flesh, the incarnation. God pre-existed. He took on human flesh, and this is all we're revealed about it, and we're still going, what just happened? So in Luke chapter 1, and we wonder, and you know, is this really, literally true? And or is it just a myth that we've pretended to believe so long? And why do I bring, many of us are saying, yes, it's true. Yes, this is reality. Yes. But friends, we need an assurance of this. And the truth is, what God says to His servant who decides yes, and boy, did her life change. Really, literally. This is the God who did a miraculous thing. Christianity is based upon the miraculous, and as a result, He is still about doing what the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Think about that. If you hear nothing else today, and as we move through this passage, verse 37 might be your life-saving ring, your thing that keeps you afloat today. When there is grief, when there is loss, when there is discomfort, when there is pain, there is a God who says, I am still ruling and reigning, and I am the God of impossibilities today. Take that with you all the way. Amen. With God, nothing is impossible. So today we're revisiting this passage. It is a visitation of the angel to Mary. Joseph had his turn, right? Joseph wasn't sure what was going on, but God intervened. And now Mary, we're brought into this unfolding passage. And did it make everything clear? Not really. Not really. That's in all fairness to Mary and to Luke, who does so well with the language at the time. And remember who Luke wrote to. His good buddy by the name of Theophilus. Who? That's chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And Luke writes to his friend Theophilus, reminded him, saying, hey, buddy. Well, he didn't say it that way, but hey, I want you to remember I want you to know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. In other words, what is he doing? He wants a reassurance. He wants to remind him of the things that by the way, Luke became an investigative sleuth. He went, and I'm sure he sat down with Mary. They may not have had coffee, but maybe they had tea, okay? They sat down, and he talked. Mary, first-hand witness. Was she first-hand witness? Yes. He did a careful investigation, and as a result, he came to understand he wasn't there. He would have loved to have been there. Wow. The birth of to me, that's still a miraculous thing, the birth of a child. Well, friends, our response to the miracle of the incarnation of Jesus still matters. I want you to know that. It still matters. This is one of those, to me, the bedrock, the non-negotiable, the things that I would take to the grave if my life depended on it. This is the bedrock truth of the eternal Word of God, and it makes a difference. Let's revisit Mary's response, because we were told in the 6th month, her cousin, right? Her cousin Elizabeth, who was the mother to his cousin John. You know, John, that guy, he was the baptizer. He was the forerunner, the herald, the one who says, prepare the way of the Lord. And pledged to be married, betrothed. They were as good as married, but they waited until the final day. And so, descendant of David, a virgin's name, Mary. Angel appeared to her. Greetings, you who are... Now, doesn't mean God favored her over others. It's just that God's grace was upon her, okay? Didn't say, let's see, who could I pick out of the people? And let's narrow it from Jerusalem. Let's go to Beth. No, God had his plan in motion. And greetings to you who are shown God's favor. That, friends, that's grace, isn't it? His favor, his undeserved favor that I don't deserve, you don't deserve. Yeah. And she is told, which in essence, now at what point did they ever interact? I don't know, but did Joseph tell Mary? I would love to ask this. Okay, it's me. I would love to ask this. Did Joseph tell Mary, hey, I had a visit of this angel? Really? So did I. I don't know if they, maybe they did. I'm sure they saw each other. You know, they're engaged, they're betrothed in Jewish culture. That was almost like being married. Well, Joseph, I was told his name's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And she's told, the Lord is with you. Same thing. Well, greatly troubled. Who wouldn't be? I'd be troubled. Wonder what kind of greeting this might be. Little did she know what was in store, but she had God's grace upon her. And Luke recounts this for us to be encouraged. And that's why I want to remind you what he started out in chapter 1, those first 4 verses. He's carefully investigated from the beginning. He thought it's good to write an orderly account. He's done his research. He talked to the eyewitnesses. He sat down with Mary. I have no doubt about that. And he wanted his friend Theophilus. Now, God inspired him, moved him to write through the Spirit of God what has been this orderly account about the Lord Jesus. And was Luke, as a physician, intrigued about the virgin birth? By all means. And as a result, friends, to know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Friends, that's what this is about. Knowing the certainty of what we've been taught about the bedrock truth of the incarnation. God, who has always eternally existed, God in his supreme knowledge, decided that he would expand beyond the Trinity to include humankind, mankind, men and women, boys and girls, into that fellowship, into that fold. And guess what? We're to know the certainty of what we've been taught, that God came to this world. This is the power of God, but also his heart, isn't it? Why he came. Well, the first response we see that our faith in God's miracle is essential. I alluded to it just a moment ago. Christianity begins with the basic notion that miracles are a reality. Would you agree? You have to. It begins with that notion, that assumption that miracles are reality. Don't be afraid. Every time an angel appears, fear not. Found favor, grace with God. Your grace is upon you. You'll be a child and give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. Joseph, Mary, both. Jesus. He why? He will save his people, all people, from their sins. Our faith in God's miracle is essential. So when we come back to this, this is essential for us to grasp and to know, because the miraculous hand of God, what He desired and designed to make happen, is of extreme importance. Remember, that begins with that reality. But I've changed my mind. Something, well, that's great. I'll get to the fourth one. Three major miracles. Creation, that God created this world and put everything in it. And take a look around. You are deemed that this is very good. Adam and Eve, okay? In the garden, perfect world. God was walking among his man and woman, right? We blew it. We broke it. God desired and designed to fix it. We would have to ask my daughter, don't text her now, but the one that's studying to be a physician, how many intricate systems within our body? Think about it. God has designed order, put order, design out of chaos. He's brought the plan of things, friends, creation. We need to have a belief in the miracle of creation, God's design and plan. The second is the incarnation, that God became man. He pre-existed. He didn't begin his existence. And this is all we're really given. Right here out of Luke, about what the incarnation is really about. We see it throughout Scripture. We find it elsewhere. God become the man, becomes man. God and man, I use the word welded together, because that becomes like an inseparable bond. And that's what God has brought to heaven with a mankind, perfect flesh. He is without sin. He is the sinless one. Never could sin, never will sin. But he felt the pain of temptation. Friends, God and man welded together forever in one person. Not two persons, one person forever. That's Jesus, the incarnation. The other is the resurrection, that Jesus Christ suffered, died, was buried, proven. He didn't swoon, he didn't pass off, he wasn't swiped, stolen. He died, was buried, and what? Triumphantly, vindicated, the Lord of all, risen again, bodily ascension, he's coming again. That's part of it. And I said there's four I would allude to. Friends, I look around. We are new creations in Christ. What a marvel that is. That is still a miracle. When somebody says yes to faith in Jesus, I believe what God has done for me. I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. And yet I look and I say, wow. But that's still faith. We use faith every day. Faith that your car's going to start. The water or coffee you drink is not tainted. Faith. The airplane you're on is going to make it. Some of that, you might think that's greater faith. Some thought that Army beating Navy in a football game was a miracle yesterday. Tired amen. I'm not going there. Careful. I know people on both sides. There was, years ago, a live-action news photographer who was also a skydiver. Now, okay, I'm going to stop and say, anybody that jumps out of the perfectly safe airplane? Anyway, he had jumped from the plane along with a number of other skydivers, and he filmed the descent. I mean, I'm sure that, wow, you know, kind of live action, you know, now we'd think, you know, get the little camera, the GoPro camera strapped to your helmet or whatever, but as they fell and opened their parachutes and, you know, billowing out, and the film shown on the telecast, the final skydiver opened his chute, then the picture kind of goes, you know, all, and they're like, whoa, and the announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death. Having jumped out of the plane, he realized he didn't have his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord, something like this motion, that he realized he was free-falling without that parachute. To that point, that I'm going to say, probably, you know, hey, all the amigos jumping out and you're having a great time, and all of a sudden it's time to hole and nothing's there. Tragically, he acted probably with haste in getting on the plane, and it was foolish. Nothing could save him. His faith was in a parachute that he never buckled on. Friends, faith in anything but an all-sufficient God can be just as tragic. Faith in him. Our faith in God and in his miracle is absolutely essential. It's fundamental. It is one of those non-negotiables that God became man, took on human flesh for the purpose to reveal the heart of God in his great love for all of mankind. Whatever we profess, whatever we have gone, we are wayward people. We have the bents to do wrong, and we are born that way. We live a life that way, and yet God says, I'm going to break into your self-sufficiency and want you to realize that I'm sufficient for your need. That's our God. As we read on, Mary just simply asks, how will this be? She says, I have never known a man. I've never been with a man. I have not been physically intimate. And that's just a humble acknowledgement of her choice and life, and we celebrate that. And the angel answered. This is the explanation of the incarnation in verse 35. That clears it all up. Not really. Friends, it's still faith in the miraculous. It is the explanation of God, how God chose to make it known through the angel. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Friends, this is the Old Testament reference when the Spirit of God would come upon his people and overshadow, be over them, be a safeguard them. About a visible presence of God. The power of God. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now notice, we're made known more about the name of God and who Jesus is than we're really to grasp the understanding of the incarnation. I mean, that's our explanation. What is Mary's response to this? Does she clasp her hands and say, oh, wow, thank you, Lord? It really isn't. It's kind of one of doubt. How can this be, you know? The angel answered, God's going to make it happen. So secondly, in our response, not only is our faith in God's miracle essential, it's essential, but I want to acknowledge what Mary acknowledged, that our doubt is normal. We have our doubts. I'll admit it. Mary's first response is not stellar by any means, but it's one of doubt, very open, honest. Didn't appear that everything was clear to her. Like Mary, there's also John the Baptist. When he wanted to know, when he asked his followers, he's incarcerated for what he spoke out for and against Herod. And he sent his followers to the Lord Jesus and says, are you the one? Are you the one? Go back to John and say, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And away they went. Did John really get a clear answer? John had his uncertainties. Thomas, my persuasion is, we use the title for him, Doubting Thomas. I think he's just expressing what everybody else felt. Unless I see him and I touch the scars, you know, spear in the side, touch the scars, I won't believe. And Jesus appears to him as the risen Lord, and what happens? Thomas, touch my hands. My Lord and my God. He has seen and believed. Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. And later, John writes in his writings, we have seen and touched. I think they all did. Is it you, Jesus? Friends, our doubt in God's miracle is normal. You're among, you're among good company when we have our doubts. Is this all about Jesus really true? See, my persuasion is it comes down to these two factors, who the person of Jesus is and his word. That, to me, is the watershed of the Christian faith. Everything is held up to that and measured against that because there is the undermining of the authority, the inspiration, the absolute truth, and the certainty that is trustworthy and reliable, that this is the Word of God for us, to us. God has made known His will and His purpose and plan about His people, the future that we have with them, that we will miss out if we don't say yes. This is marvelous. But if we don't believe who Jesus is and understand the truth, and we come to embrace that, we miss out. Friends, we have doubts. Is this true and reliable? Is Jesus who He claims to be? Is he a lunatic? Is He a liar? Or is He Lord? He is, friends. He is worthy of still our devotion. You know, years ago when Australia was being explored, I can stand corrected on this factoid, but there are some who came across a unique creature in their exploration of the land of the continent, excuse me, of Australia. You know, g'day mate, that place. They refused to believe, in spite of evidence. The explorers that went there, they found a mammal that laid eggs. What is that? If we were to do Jeopardy, what would that question be? What is a what? And his name is Perry, right? Perry the. That's another show. When explorers went, they found a mammal laid eggs. It is a great show, but anyway, Phineas and Ferb. But spent some time in water, some on land, had a broad flat tail, webbed feet, and a bill similar to a duck. I think that's God's touch of humor in some ways. But upon the return to England, they told those gathered of this, and guess what they responded? It's a hoax. It's a joke. They returned to Australia. Can you imagine this? Centuries ago. They found a pelt, you know, skin, the fur, whatever it is, pellet platypus. And they took it back to England. People still felt it was a joke, a hoax, in spite of that evidence. Now, I suppose the next thing was to bring what? Capture one and bring it back and say, here it is. You pasted something, you flattened it. I don't know. In spite of the evidence, they disbelieved because they didn't want to believe, as Josh McDowell writes this account. Friends, the evidence is overwhelming. It is out there. It has been. It remains true and reliable. Will you and I choose to believe what God has made known? Our doubt in God's miracle is normal. It really is. And as we think about this, and think about it. We have our doubts at times. And times, will I trust God? Will I take God at His word? Will I believe Him? Will I believe Him enough? Is He truly sufficient for my needs? Will He answer this heartfelt prayer, if not now, someday? Will He bring healing to my body, if not now, someday? Will we trust and we pray for those unsaved loved one? Will He claim them before it's too late? Guess what, friends? The Lord has been very patient with doubters. I think of Thomas and others, and if you're to read stories of somebody like C.S. Lewis and others But God has a way of inviting people to investigate evidence. God's not afraid. He's not afraid of our doubts. He's not afraid of our tough questions. Are they tough? Yes. Do I have all the answers? No. But I know someone who does, and his name is Jesus. Indeed. God is enough. I want you to know that, friends. He is enough to handle everything we think we can throw. Every question, every doubt, every uncertainty, every moment. And I come up with God brings a verse for the day as I'm going through. And I'm going through the New Testament again this December and reading and and the father cries out, Lord, your disciples couldn't heal my son, save him. And he was demonized, and he said to the father, well, do you believe? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Maybe that's part of our prayer today too. Lord, help my unbelief. Faith in God's miracle, in the miracle of the incarnation, God became a man He was sent on the rescue mission to rescue us from our sin and to save us from the eternal damnation, the eternal separation that I think we fail to fully grasp. And in this, when we realize that in this rescue mission, what God's done in his love and mercy and grace, well, we have our doubts. We do, if we're honest enough. But faith in what God has done is essential. Doubt is normal. But guess what, friends? Nothing is impossible with God. Take that. I mean, not take that, but take that with you, excuse me. Talk about it. Converse over. Pray over. Rest on it. Sleep on it. Nothing is impossible. Have you thought of it lately, the things that we find impossible to do, or we just give up, or we resign ourselves, oh, you know, that'll never happen. It's like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do this, and, you know, I have to rework some. Yeah. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said, the angel left her. She basically opened the door for Christmas, didn't she? Years ago in our first ministry in the inner city of Chicago, yes, inner city, multi-staff, multi-ethnic inner city church, just graduated from Moody and Moody Bible Institute, and one of the things we found that getting inner city, well, part of the, my responsibility was working with the teens and at that time, and getting them out away from the city and go to camp in Wisconsin. Isn't Wisconsin annexed to Chicago anyway or something, but getting them and get them thinking and talking and discussion. And, you know, one family that from our church from Guatemala, and they were so blessed that their daughter came to know Jesus at camp when we came back, that they gave me this little banner. And my Spanish is not great. I know words, and I'll say words at work, and then I have guys will my bivocational work, and they'll go off in sentences. I'm like, whoa, I just asked you where the bathroom was. That's all I need to know. Todo es de baño, you know. But todo es posible por Dios. I don't probably slaughter that. But all things are possible with God because they saw what God did in rescuing their daughter. And friends, God does the same for us. He rescues us. He provides for us. And that banner, holding on to it, my Spanish is poor, but with the words of simple but profound faith expressed by an unwed, probably teenage girl, Christmas end of the world, what she said yes to, years probably of heartache, of joy, things that she treasured up in her heart, the anguish of her son crucified, but she said yes, and she is respected of all women. But our belief in God's miracle is possible. I'd like to think that the closer you get to God, we begin to see how more powerful he is. It starts, our faith starts with a huge, huge God and a willingness to swallow our huge egos. We have to humbly say, I believe God is more powerful than me. I submit myself to him as an awesome, miracle-working God. He is the God of impossibilities. This miracle not only tells us something about the power of God, but it's the heart of God. It really is. Christmas is about the heart of God, power of God, that the Holy Spirit planted us a cell and united in the womb of Mary, the power of God. But the heart of God is why it came about, and that through that birth, the Savior, the Son of God, and his titles were ascribed to him, the Lord God. He is the descendant of David, which is king, the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. He is has the name Jesus that is above every name because of his obedience to the cross. He is also the Holy One. He is the Most High. He is the one that we believe in. Again, verse 37 is probably all that you need here today, friends. For with God, nothing is impossible. The miracle of the incarnation, seemingly impossibility, but God made it possible. The things that you and I face, we think are seemingly impossibilities, but I think of the chorus or refrain, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's our God. That's my God. That's our God we call upon. What a privilege. He almost snuck into this world unnoticed. Almost. Almost. Friends, it's essential that we believe in the incarnation of Jesus. I alluded to the creation. We've spent some time on the miracle of the incarnation. We have also referenced about the significance of Easter, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the miracle of regeneration. That is, we're new creations, new creatures in Christ, transformed death to life because of him. It's normal we have doubts about God, doubts about his word. He's big enough to handle our doubts, our uncertainties, our questions, our rage at times. But it's possible to take God at his word. The evidence that is there, that glares for us, it is possible to believe him and take him at his word. I have. You can. Do you believe in Jesus? Your response matters. Like Mary, as we unwrap this just a little bit, we unwrap it for Christmas, or rewrap it. I want you to know that you're among many who have had similar doubts, but what will you do with them? We all have our doubts. We all have questions about the Bible. What will you do with them? Will you research it? Will you investigate it? Or will you just push it away and live your life? Friends, God is still able to handle all of those doubts, whatever it is, whatever uncertainties, whatever we face. But here's what I challenge us to do, myself included. I will believe God for this Christmas. I will believe God for what? You can write it down, it's okay. Something unspoken that's not known to anyone else but God. For peace of heart and mind, for a relational strain that needs harmony, for comfort through the loss, for healing. Believe God for, maybe it's an answer to the question you've asked about who he is. Is he really who he claims to be? Maybe it's the truth of God's word. Is it truly reliable? I'm going to believe God for this year. Friends, God wants simple faith that he will keep his word in likely and an unexpected way. That's all he wants. That's what Mary did, simple faith. Lastly, nothing, whatever that is, nothing is impossible with God. Underscore this. Take it with you today after lunch. There's a guy that apparently, according to the story, died and appeared to Peter. And as he appeared to Peter, he was given Peter says, meets him at pearly gates. He says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, I'll give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, dun-da-da, enter in. I don't know if Peter did dun-da-da, but okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, never cheated on her, even my heart. Well, that's wonderful, said Peter. That's worth 3 points. What? 3 points? Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service. Terrific, says Peter. Terrific. That's certainly worth a point. What? Oh, let me think. I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Oh, that's tremendous. 2 points. At this rate, the only way I'll get to heaven is by the grace of God. Bingo, 100 points, enter in. Friends, we try to fix things, don't we? I'm a problem solver, fix it kind of guy. If you can't with WD-40 and duct tape. But friends, God fixed it when he planted a cell in a virgin and with a Roman nail at the cross. That's how God chose to fix you and me. Will we accept it as truth or not? It's up to us. With God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are and remain in our lives and our midst right now. Lord, there are many of us that have uncertainties and seemingly impossibilities that we have labored over, we've prayed over, maybe we've cried over. But Lord, I thank you that you're big enough to handle every single thing that we throw, we hurl, we relinquish, we drop on you. And Lord, thank you that we can trust you. You're not merely a crutch, God. On the contrary, your life giving to me, to each of us, to this church. And Lord, as a result of this, my hope and prayer is that, God, we will continue to believe, that we will know the certainty for sure, the things that we've heard and been taught, that it's not merely a belief that we've believed long enough and so it's got to be true. It's true because you designed it so, and you've put it into motion, and you've recorded it for us to believe. So, Lord, what happened on a side street in Bethlehem years ago is accurate, that God became a man, entered this world. And Lord, that you still do the miraculous, you still do the impossibilities, and we trust you for that. Whatever it is that maybe we've labeled, we've cited, we've written down, God, we trust you for this. We thank you that, God, you did design in the design of things. You designed that you would leave your throne. You, Lord Jesus, would come into this world to seek and save us, that which was lost. Unworthy as we are, we thank you. We thank you. We are forever grateful for the gift we received when we said yes, when we believed by faith in the miraculous. God, we are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. Lord, so in many ways, Sunday is a celebration of a new life we find in you, and it's for you and unto you. And Lord, we celebrate, we thank you for your goodness to us now. Lord, continue your mighty work among us, in each of us, until you come again. And Lord, find us, continue to believe, continue to be faithful as a result, for we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. I think in our closing, we'll stand and worship together. Reminder, that is there room in my heart? Is it too cluttered with things, or room in my heart for you? We believe by faith, we trust him in his goodness and his greatness, that he stooped to come into this world, King eternal, as a baby, a cell planted in a virgin. Why? Because of his great love for you and me. That's our God. With God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray together, and the simple instruction is you're welcome to stay for lunch. If you're limited in mobility, need assistance, certainly go first, and we'll join in celebrating together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are and remain in our lives, the Lord of all, and we thank you that, God, our faith is based upon the miraculous. But God, it's a reasonable faith. It's darkness to light. It is believing what you've left for us. And God, we do so with the intelligence you've blessed us with heartfelt emotion, with choices we make. And God, may you be honored as a result. As we continue to make room in our heart for you, Lord, that we will continue to believe, continue to trust in the God who does the seemingly impossible. Lord, thank you. Thank you for each and every one. And Lord, for the food that's been provided and brought, and we can share together life in you and life with one another. We entrust this to you. Thank you for the food, and we bless our meal and our time together, and we pray that you would be pleased with what we say and do now. For we pray to the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God's people said, amen. Amen.